Folks, welcome. Visitors, welcome. Thanks for being here today. What a super day. I want to talk about, I think it was in 2000, there was a movie that came out, Cast Away, with Tom Hanks, and he got stranded. Thanks, that's the word I'm looking for, stranded. On an island, and he was there for a long time. Well, in the 37th Super Bowl football, FedEx did a commercial and a spoof on this Castaway movie with Tom Hanks. And we're going to watch it now, or hopefully we're going to watch it. We're trying something new today.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package, and I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
So, I mean, that's a funny commercial, and we think about it, and we think that there he is, marooned on an island for 5 years. For 5 years, and he has everything he possibly could need to survive and get rescued. And yet, he never opens the package. He's a faithful FedEx employee. That's not my package. I'm not opening it. I don't think I would have that. I think I would have opened the package just to see what was in it. But it's kind of interesting, right? There's a satellite phone, a global positioning device, a fishing rod, water purifier, seeds. I mean, he had everything, yet never opened the package. The American Bible Society states that 87% of homes in America have at least one Bible. Most have, on an average, three Bibles in them. That sounds pretty good. Lifeway Research did a study of 1,000 Americans about their use of the Bible. They found that 20%, so if you take the all of it and all of it want all of it once or more than once, that's 20% of that 1,000 people have read through the Bible at least once or more. Wow, that sounds good. And then if you go down and you come down to the almost all of it and that at least half of it, that's another 27%. So 47% have read almost half of the Bible or more. Wow. And then you go and you take the rest, and you got 43% have, or 33% have read only a few sentences and a few stories in the Bible, and there's 10% that haven't read any of the Bible. But I mean, when we think about it, 50% have read almost half or more of the Bible. That sounds not too bad. I mean, we as Christians must be included in that 50%. I would hope. But unfortunately, there's another study released in 2012 which reveals, and I'll quote, Lifeway Research surveyed more than 2,900 Protestant churchgoers and found that while 90% desire to please and honor Jesus in all they do, only 19% personally read their Bible every day. What happened to that 50%? Well, they might be part of that 19%. But 19%, only read their Bible every day. 1 out of 5 people. So if there were 40 people here today, only 8 of us, according to the survey, read our Bible every day. Many in the church today are like the FedEx employee who had what he needed to be rescued and to survive, but didn't access it. I mean, we have the Bible, which can give us insight, the insight we need to live, to do our daily lives. If I think about it, isn't that what we really want? That insight on how to live our daily lives, how to get through from one day to the next, how to glorify God in our lives, how to have a full life with Him. We want that insight. As we are resolved to read the Bible, we obtain insight into who God is. I mean, as we open the Bible to the first few pages, what do we find? We find out that God created all things. He created the sky, the stars, the moon, the sun. He also created the water and the land and the vegetation and the animals. And then He created us humans. He created all things, the Bible tells us. Yet God doesn't just create mankind and then just cast them off to the side. But God created mankind, and then He took them and He placed them in the Garden of Eden. A beautiful place where all things were there. All the food they could possibly need, God provided everything for them. It was all there. God loved His creation, and especially mankind, and He didn't want mankind to lack anything. God desired that mankind would have all things. So just as we read in the first two chapters, we have this insight into who God is. He's a creative God. He's a God who provides. He's a God who loves and wants the best for His creation, and especially mankind. Then you go into the third chapter. We're only into the third chapter of the Bible, and we get an insight into who Satan is. How he tries to tempt us. How he is a liar and a schemer and a deceiver. We see how he wants to cause trouble between God and His creation and how it works. That's the insight we're getting, and we're only on the third chapter. And it works. Satan's schemes work. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Even though God said you could eat from all the trees in the garden, but don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She saw that it was pleasing and it was good, and she would obtain knowledge. Here we have insight in the Bible of how Satan tries to tempt each one of us. He tries to lure us away from God, even though God desires to give us all that we will need. Satan says, look at this. It is good for you. You will be better with it. God wouldn't hold it back from you, something that's good for you, would He? That's how Satan works. Also, at the same time, the Bible gives us insight into our lives. It tells us that when Eve was tempted by Satan, she gave in and she ate the fruit. We know she wasn't alone. Adam was right there with her. She brought the fruit to him and said, here, this is great. And he ate too. May we not fool ourselves. I think each one of us would have fallen that day as well. We would have saw the fruit and said, oh, that looks good. And I bet it tastes good. It's good for food. And it's going to give me wisdom too. I'm going to be like God. I think we would have all fallen that day. You see, we would have fallen that day, and many of us fall to similar temptations today. Power, cheating, sexual misconduct, vanity, and many other things. We go, oh, they look good. I think they might taste good. I think they'll give me more, and I'll be a better person. The next insight we get in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, and we're still not out of chapter 3, but is that there our sin brings it shame, and we get filled with shame, and we try to hide from God. See, Satan doesn't stick around and take any responsibility for what he tempted us into. He tempts us into it. He tempts us into the sin. And when we bite and when we hook on, he's gone. Well, hold it. Satan made me do it. Satan was right there. He tempted me. He was the one that coerced me into doing it. And so we get shame, filled with shame. And what do? We hide from God. Listen to Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" The Bible gives us great insight into God here. We realize that God never abandons his creation, no matter what they've done. Satan's gone. Satan's taken off. He's caused all the havoc he wants to cause at that time, and he's gone. But God doesn't abandon us. In fact, what do we see? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? Where are you, Scott? What have you done? God is there, wanting to find Adam and Eve, wanting to call out to them, wants fellowship with them. He knows what's gone on. We try to hide it. That's just some of the insights we can gather reading the first three chapters of the Old Testament. Can you imagine how many more insights we could get if we read the other 926 chapters? We'd be here a long time. And that's only a few out of the first three chapters. There's many more insights in there. And then there's the 260 chapters in the New Testament. In the Gospels, we are given the insight that God so loved each one of us that he paid the price for our sins. Jesus left the realms of heaven to live among us, to walk on earth. And then he was falsely accused and paid the price for our sins. He was sentenced to death on a cross. He paid our penalty. That's the insight we get out of the Gospels. Jesus died for our sins so we could have we wouldn't have to pack around the shame and the guilt. Listen to the insight in John chapter 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief comes to only steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life to the full." Who's the thief? We see that Satan is the thief. And he's no different now than when he was with Eve. He comes to steal and kill and destroy our relationship with God. And that's what he was trying to do with Eve and Adam back then. And he's still trying to do that. He's still trying to do that today. But on the other hand, God is the same as he was back in Genesis 2. He's the same God. He's still the same God that sees our sin, knows we've sinned. And he comes walking and says, Scott, where are you? I want you to be with me. I want to give you life. I want to give you freedom from the shame and guilt of our sins. He has come that we might have all that he has intended us for, or for us. If we are never resolved to read the Bible, we will never grasp the fullness of the insights of both God and just how much he loves us and wants us to be with him in his eternal kingdom. Yet these insights only come from a few verses out of the 1,189 chapters found in the Bible. Think how many more insights we could gather if we were those who resolved to read the Bible each and every day. We would find insights on marriage, finances, friendship, character, healing, love, forgiveness, patience, communication, grieving, and the list would go on and on and on. No wonder the psalmist wrote, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path, in Psalm 119, verse 105. See, the word here is the Bible. And the Bible is light, insight for our daily lives. So if I'm in a dark room and I have a flashlight and I don't turn it on, what's going to happen? I don't know if you've seen those things that are on Facebook, apparently. That I seen it on the TV. There's this thing where there's some kind of challenge and they walk around blindfolded and they do stupid things blindfolded. And when they're blindfolded, they run into things. If I've got a flashlight and I'm in a dark room, I'm going to stumble and fall over everything. I have no light, no sight, no insight. If I have a Bible and I don't open it up and I don't read it on a daily basis, I don't have insight. I don't have light to see my path clearly. All of us have physical access to a Bible. And if you don't have a Bible at home, let me know and I'll make sure you have one. But all of us have physical access to a Bible, but do we personally access the Bible? Are we resolved to personally access that Bible on a daily basis? Because, you know, if we are not resolved to reading the Bible on a daily basis, our faith will become weak. Romans 10:17 declares, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the message. How do we hear the message? By opening our Bibles or opening our phone or whatever we've got the Bible on and reading it on a daily basis. The more we read it, the stronger our faith. Does that not make sense? It makes sense to me. You know, I remember years ago asking God if I should resign from a church. Years ago, okay, not today. Don't anybody get any thoughts. Don't start tweeting out things that the pastor's resigning. But years ago, I was at a crossroads, and I felt, and I wasn't sure if I was supposed to resign the church that I was in. And you know, a few days later, I was reading in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, and this is what it says. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. And I went, I have not found your deeds, your work here in this church, complete in my sight. I mean, those words just jumped off the page at me. I mean, what insight those words brought into my life as I'd been praying for direction. I knew I was not finished at that church. And I pastored there for another year. But just think, if I had not been resolved at that time to read God's word, where I might be. Because a couple of weeks after God had really confirmed with me that I needed to stay there for some more time, I didn't know how long at that time, I got a phone call from Salt Spring Island. Now it's winter time and I'm in Kimberley. And Salt Spring Island phones and says, oh, we're looking for a pastor, Scott. We were just wondering if you were interested. My best friend only lived minutes away in Crofton. That's got to be God calling me to Salt Spring Island. That must be what God called. But you know, I could say to that gentleman on the phone, I'm sorry, I don't even need to pray about it because God just confirmed through his word, he just gave me the insight that I needed to stay here in Kimberley. And the man said to me, I wish God would do that with our pastor that's leaving. That's true. He said that. I was a young pastor back then. And that day, my faith was encouraged and strengthened. Why? Because I had been resolved to read God's word at that time. Now, I'd like to say, or no, before I say that, each of us have a Bible which gives us the insights on how to be rescued from our sins and how to live a full life which glorifies God. We can only gather those insights if we are resolved to read the Bible on a daily basis. And I'd like to say that I've always read the Bible every day from the time I became a Christian. But that would be untrue. That would be untrue. You see, a number of years ago, for quite a while, I didn't read the Bible every day. I sort of read it here and there and here and there. And a number of years ago, I built a friendship with a man. And he said, can you keep me accountable to some things? And I said, yeah, I can. He says, but I don't want this to be a one-way street. I want it to be a two-way street. So what can I keep you accountable for? Who, me? I'm a pastor. There's nothing. I'm good. I said, you know what? I really struggle with reading the Bible every day. Can you keep me accountable to reading the Bible every day? And I can say, I've read the Bible every day since then, 90% of the time. Now, to be all honest, I read the Bible 6 days a week. I don't read the Bible on Sunday. That doesn't sound right, does it? I preach on Sunday, but I read the Bible every day, every morning. I go to the gym, I come home, and then I read the Bible. I know the more we are resolved to read the Bible, the stronger our faith will be. And the clearer the light will be for our daily path, we will see God's direction much clearer. May one of our New Year's resolutions be, I will be resolved to read the Bible every day. Last week we talked about being resolved to pray. And we were talked about earlier about being resolved to know Jesus, to follow Jesus, to serve Jesus. New Year's resolutions, which are solid and strong, which will build us into the people of God, the people God wants us to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's your word. And we could talk a lot about the Bible. We could talk about the 1,189 verses and how you inspired each one of those to be written by mankind. How you guided the pens of those men. We could talk about the promises that are in your word. So many. So many. Lord, we want to be people of your word because it explains to us, it gives us the insights of who you are and how you react and how you love us and who Satan is and how he wants to deceive us, that he's the father of all lies. It gives us the insight into our daily lives and different things in our lives and how we walk out those things. Father, help us. For those who might not read the Bible on a daily basis, Lord, because it just seems so overwhelming, help them to start with maybe just 5 minutes a day and continue to give them a hunger and a thirst for more. Help others to increase their daily reading. Father, help us to meditate on your word as we read it. Help us to ask those hard questions. What here are you saying to us? How should this change my life? And then to live out those words. God, may we each say, this year, we resolve to read your word, to read the Bible, each and every day. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.